The Early Late Show with Stephen Carson. Yes, it's Tuesday night. It's Early Late Show. It's Castle Council time. Welcome to Freedom Day. Hope you had a good day today. It was a holiday here in South Africa. If you're listening anywhere else, hope you had a good day as well. But more importantly, it's Castle Council time. And in Castle Council, we always have somebody special in studio to talk to us. And when there's not somebody special, I talk to myself, which is not nearly as as pleasant. But tonight we got, we're supposed to have two gentlemen in studio, and fortunately we've only got one, but the one is very important to me, Mr. Michael Bender, the CEO of Ibercup South Africa.
Well, good evening, Stephen, and as you said, congratulations everybody. What a wonderful way to spend a Freedom Day.
Yes.
Cool to be here. Just on behalf of the other guest that was meant to be here, which was the managing director of La Liga, Marcos does apologize, but unfortunately had to leave town quite urgently. But he's happy to pick up this conversation with you at another time. But like you said, I'm as important.
You as important. So yeah, Mike, welcome to Castle's Council. And tonight we're talking football, something very close to your heart. And particularly, obviously, as what we mentioned, the Ibercup. And you're going to tell us a little bit about the Ibercup. Because straight away off the bat, I mean, I like soccer. I'm a football fan. But I know nothing about what this Ibercup is. I know it's about development. So can you give us a little background as to what Ibercup South Africa is?
Absolutely. So thank you. Ibercup is the biggest and most important youth, international youth soccer tournament that takes place all over the globe. It's played in Brazil, Spain, Portugal, England, Poland, Australia, China, and the USA. But the greatest news is that we have secured the rights to bring Ibercup to South Africa to have the first international Ibercup tournament in October in Johannesburg. It's going to be phenomenal because it entitles us now to bring the teams from overseas, these great franchises that we all know, to come and play against South African teams.
Okay, so let you warn you. So this is a youth cup. What ages are we talking about?
So from under 10s to under 18s is the age group.
Every age, 10?
10, 11, 12, 13, right through to 18.
Okay.
And importantly, male and female.
Oh, wow. And they're playing in a tournament structure that lasts how long?
So the tournament takes place for 4 to 5 days, depending on if they're making the semis and the finals.
Okay.
The winners in South Africa, who win in the South African leg, then get invited to go to Brazil to play in what's called the IBA World Club Cup competition. So there you get to play against some of the greatest teams in the world in the heart of football, Brazil.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand this, right?
Sure.
To make sure, because I'm sure people are listening and asking the same question. There are going to be teams playing. What are those teams? Like, who are those teams? Are they going to be
Sorry, I interrupt you. No, very rude.
Like, good, because I'm trying to. What team is it? Like, is it a school side? Is it a Pirates under 10? What are we looking at? What is
so, very valid question. So Ibercup really is run based on the FIFA charter. So they play under the FIFA rules. So South African teams who want to enter Ibercup can come from clubs. Generally and mostly will come from all what we call the local football association clubs. Mm-hmm. And that expands across the country from anywhere, be it KwaZulu-Natal, Cape Town or Johannesburg. The most obviously up in Johannesburg. I mean, you have close to 1.2 million footballers registered in Johannesburg in the youth category. So what we do is we then get the clubs to enter. If schools have already been playing in a league that's a recognized league, because I'd love you to ask me that question about schools football later. At the moment, schools football is just as functional.
Because that's what I'm surprised you're saying. If it's not a recognized league, I thought they were all recognized. But we'll get to that.
Because we're going to get to that.
Because my daughter plays football, so now I'm interested.
I'd love to chat about how that is splintered. The intention is that Ibercup's going to start helping bring back schools football.
Okay.
And it's one of the mandates of the Gauteng provincial government is to start bringing school football back into a formalized way rather than it played sporadically. But we're losing our track here.
Yeah.
So just going back to Ibercup.
Yes.
What we do is, so the history of Ibercup has had Barcelona, Juventus, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea, Bayern Munich, AC Milan, Some of the world's biggest football franchises participate in Iber Cup.
All those teams that were just almost in the Super League last week.
Well, we're not going to say let's not go there right now, because we still, Barcelona, we still don't know whether they're in or they're out. Okay. They may be playing against themselves at this rate.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong. So, okay.
So, but all the big sides have got youth teams, and they've been part of Iber Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, if you look at, we even go as far as China and Mexico. You start seeing teams coming from some of the furthest parts of the planet to play in. And obviously the big one is the Brazilian teams. So the Brazilian football teams are the key to everything, because Iber Cup currently in Brazil right now is 22 franchises. But all Iber Cup does is it builds the foundation for football tournaments. In the past, we were South Africans going overseas. Yeah. Now you can imagine, it used to cost us 45,000 rand a player.
Jeez, like it.
Yeah, so to give you an idea, 2019 in July, we participated. When I say we, the South African Central Gauteng team, 147 kids went over to Portugal to participate.
Yo, that was the
45,000 rand a child.
Yeah, that's
it's just become impossible.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, it's like anything in life. It doesn't allow us to take all the talent over, because most of the talent can't afford to go.
So now, by having Iber Cup here, are we now going to get the best we have and taking that overseas?
So you've hit the nail on the proverbial head here. Very simply put, so when we host Iber Cup here in October, our intention was then to see which is the best of our talent available, and then look at how do we start getting that talent overseas. So we've been working overseas with teams. As you know, I've been in this game for over 40 years, and we've created relationships with South African teams and international teams. But it's never been formalized where it's a business like an Iber Cup. And lo and behold, La Liga steps up out of the blue. No, I shouldn't say out of the blue. In actual fact, 2 years later, La Liga steps up and says, we can provide you the expertise and what you need in terms of what Iber Cup doesn't have right now to start looking at this talent scout, talent identification programs.
Okay, because that's the question I wanted to ask now. Excuse me. You've got Iber Cup, which is now an international league set up around the world that it gets played. You've now formed Iber Cup South Africa,
correct,
which will play, all the top sides will play each other in a tournament, and the best teams there will then go to the World Cup, Iber Cup.
Yes, correct.
Okay, in the different age groups.
100%.
Now, you've got a relationship with La Liga, which is what which we're supposed to have it tonight in the president of La Liga South Africa, Marcus Pellegrini, right?
Correct.
How does that relationship come about? How does La Liga now get involved in... So Spanish soccer now getting... Look, Spanish soccer is getting involved everywhere, as we know. But how does Spanish soccer get involved in South Africa now? How does that come about?
So, and I can only speak on behalf of La Liga based on our engagement with La Liga.
Yeah.
But it's kind of clear La Liga have been here for almost 5 years in South Africa, looking as part of the La Liga development program, which is a global initiative, is how do they come and assist in developing local football. So they have a host of areas within La Liga, one being called La Liga Projects. They come into countries that potentially may not have the infrastructure or the means to ever engage La Liga. They go into the country and they look at then developing youth football in terms of what Spanish football represents, particularly La Liga football. Their initiatives have always been, let's bring over the expertise to that country and see how we can assist them. So 2015, I take a team to Spain, and this is kind of setting the precedent of where we landed up today.
Yeah.
So 2015, take an under-12 team to Spain. On our own, we raise the funds, we take this team to Spain, and we play in a huge Spanish cup called the Donosti Cup. Mm. But yet, when we get on the field, our boys had raw talent, but our first team we played was Real Madrid.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, it wasn't even a wow. It was like, okay. You know that story about a rabbit in a headlight?
Yeah.
You can imagine these 11-year-olds going all the way to Spain. Some of them have never left their township.
Yeah.
So the one boy, for instance, the furthest he'd ever traveled was from Dipsler to Randburg. But yet here he was on a plane going to Spain.
Wow.
And you can imagine just the context of playing in a stadium, because we were all playing in Real Sociedad Stadium, which is one of the big La Liga teams. Mm. And just the enormity of all of this, we were 2-0 down in minutes. It made me realize a couple of things. Tactically and cognitively, they were so advanced in terms of understanding textbook football. We were just playing with raw talent, and as much as we try to get them up there, but we got up to, and eventually we started scoring, and the game changed. Yeah. And our boys tried really hard. We lost the game. By game two, they started adapting a little differently. We played Lyon, and Paris Saint-Germain were there as well. We come up against Lyon. These are the French champions, and we slam them 7-0. And all of a sudden, everyone in Spain starts changing. We go, and all you hear is Afrique du Sud, Afrique du Sud. Unbelievable goose flesh time. Yeah. But the key thing was, when we came home, I realized how far apart we were. So, granted, a lot of those kids at 11 years old are training 5 days a week. And they
You're talking about the guys in Spain?
Yes. So
or overseas, anyway.
Just generally overseas. Yeah. If you're in any of the academy systems, you're there. You've been taught, you've been fed, you're training 5 days a week. You understand how football's played. Yeah. Whereas we're going over with raw talent. Cut a long story short, 2016, we go with two teams. 2017, and it starts increasing until 2019. We get to Portugal, and we're playing some of the big sides. Benfica, Sporting Lisbon, Real Madrid were there. And we get into one cup final and three semifinals.
Wow.
So that's insane. In 5 years, the South Africans have started adapting. But we still left some of the best talent behind. Yeah. We realized...
Why?
Cost.
Okay.
We raised a lot of money ourselves. We get no support from any brand or sponsor. And I say we, there are a group of about 10 of us who do this together. Yeah. And... the sad thing is, you can't supply everybody the opportunity because you just run out of money eventually. Yeah. So whilst we were there, two girls got signed to Benfica Academy. In January, the boys went to play in Las Vegas, the under-18s, our 17-year-olds. Four boys have been offered colleges an opportunity to get into a college. So that's also incredibly amazing. But the big thing for us was, and most importantly was, how do we find a way to get our kids into a system that they can start getting used to the European style of football. So if you look at the South African football landscape for youth right now, there's nothing. There are a lot of academies. Some shouldn't be called academies, to be honest with you. But the truth be told, they're still trying to do something. So you can't knock them. The fact that they don't fit into SAFA's charter of 2011 of what an academy must be, but at least they're trying to do something. I go to a sports in Durban on 2019, November 2019, which is run by the Gauteng provincial government, and the Premier Mukura, he's running the whole thing. And to cut a long story short, I get chatting to the MEC of Sports, Arts and Culture, Ms. Mbali Khlope, who's, I got to say, I have huge respect for, because she's trying to change the football, the face of football in schools. And we get chatting. She says to me, listen, we've got to take this further. How do we take this opportunity further that you can bring international expertise into South Africa? She said, by the way, the guys from La Liga in South Africa, why don't I connect the two of you? And lo and behold, we connect there at the Gauteng Sports in Durban, and that became the start then of this concept of, let's use the expertise of La Liga. La Liga offer us UEFA pro coaches to come to South Africa and to run camps and clinics as part of a process that'll grow into talent identification. So Ibercup partnered with La Liga. We are the official partners of La Liga's camps and clinics with the intention of developing it into talent identification, which means right now we have 42 Spanish clubs available for consideration if the talent we find it.
All right, we're going to get into how that all works and how it all makes sense and how do people find out how to get involved. We'll do that after. Now, what we do every time at Castles Council, just so you know, we always try and theme the music around the topic.
Oh, Lord.
And it's about football.
It's Liverpool song.
No, I would never do that to you. But so the thing.
Castles Council.
Yep, we're back at Castle Council. It's Tuesday night. It's the Early Late Show. And in studio with me, Mr. Michael Bender, the CEO of Ibercup South Africa, talking football. So if you're interested in football, make sure you're listening closely to the radio. If you've got any questions for us, Hit us up on the WhatsApp line. It's 064-536-8228. That's 064-536-8228. And I'm sure we'll get to answer them for you. Or I'm sure Mike will love to answer them for you. I won't be able to answer anything. Mike, tell me something now. We spoke about it and we just said La Liga is now going to get involved. And we spoke about clinics and then we spoke about a tournament and that. Just explain to me how that structure works now. Like, are there clinics that are going to happen now before October? Or is it pure tournament October and then same? What happens from now till October?
Cool. So what our intention is this, and I'm going to drop the bomb on the exciting news that I have just now,
okay.
Particularly about Iber Cup. So La Liga and ourselves entered into this partnership to start looking at the camps. Obviously, it will be the first official La Liga camp ever run in South Africa, which takes place in July at the St. Stithians College grounds. That's in Johannesburg, yeah. Just off Bryanston, and we will run it over the five-day window, and then 2 days will be dedicated to coaching courses. So
that's the next question. So you got a five-day course, five-day clinic that's coming
for
up.
For players.
And that's, okay, good. So that's purely for players to, now you're going to be coaching players out of their teams. They come and how do they get involved?
100%. So what happens is this, we make an appeal to all the clubs in the registered leagues to send us some of their best players, or players can register online at www.laligacampssa.com. So if I can repeat that.
Yeah, say it again, because you're going to also post that up on the website.
So www.laligacampssa.com.
Okay.
And the intention is that the three UEFA coaches come from the La Liga resource department. Ordinarily, we'll know closer to the time which clubs they link to. So you could have a FCB Barcelona coach here. You could have a Leganés coach. You could have a Malaga coach. The point is, these are UEFA Pro License coaches, which we don't see in this country.
Yeah.
Not in youth football, ever. So this is a first for South Africa, where you're getting these UEFA Pro License coaches coming to South Africa to spend 5 days with youth. Hell of important to understand is that we would love to do more in 5 days. Because of COVID, unfortunately, our restrictions are that we can only have so many per age group. So we're only working with 20 boys or girls per age group over those 5 days in different time slots. The coaching is absolutely pivotal to a La Liga coming to South Africa.
How are you going to choose players? You're talking 20 players in an age group. That's nothing. It really is nothing. And you know yourself it is. So how's that process done? Like, how does it keep fair?
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That you can't do more than that, yeah. Particularly because of the protocols of COVID.
Yeah.
Even a game doesn't allow you to have spectators anymore, particularly in youth football.
But you're talking June now.
Yep, July.
July. Are we not going to be over-COVID by then?
If we are, we will expand the amount of kids.
So based on the current protocol in place, this is
saying,
where we
guys,
are.
This is the rule of thumb. We cannot go any further than this.
Okay.
So what we're saying is first come, first serve, as long as you're registered to an affiliated SAFA team through a league.
So as soon as those 20 spots are done, it's done.
They're done, unfortunately. And which is, again, we should be doing 200 kids, never mind 20 kids.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Because I'll give you an idea. We went. We did a quick television interview last week on SABC Sport. And I'm not exaggerating. I must have 11,000 queries from kids around this country going, how do we get in? How do we get in? How do we get in? We're going, we can't fit you in because...
Can't you travel it?
Absolutely. So you asked the question earlier. There'll be three La Liga camps a year, minimum.
Yeah.
Three La Liga camps a year. We're using July as the benchmark because this is the first time it ever takes place. Let's find out exactly how we need to run it. I mean, you know unequivocally from the camps I've participated in overseas that this is the best of the best coming to South Africa to teach our boys.
Sure.
Don't lose sight of the fact that these coaches we put through the program, the intention is that's where our legacy program starts.
Okay, that's a separate thing.
We're going to come to that separately.
Yeah, I want to get to that separately because that's very important.
So, Steve, the question to ask is this. So let me bounce this back at you. Here's my analogy. You were a boxer. You're an athlete. You were a sportsman. You were the heavyweight champion in South Africa. If you had the opportunity, hypothetically, at 13, to be seen by Freddie Roach, for instance, or one of the top boxing trainers, where do you think your career could have escalated to?
No, I think the earlier you get hold of a talent, I think the better it is, because you could nurture it. You don't spend time fixing things later or getting rid of bad habits. Once you get past all the basics, and those basics are natural, then you start looking at management and thinking and technical and all that stuff that we are behind. So, yeah, I think it's the most important thing to develop from an early age, the correct mannerism, the right techniques, the right skills, the right mindset, definitely.
So to that point, part of what I've discovered being in some of the courses that I've done now in international...
Just to correct you, I was never the heavyweight champion.
Sorry.
I would love to have been, but
sorry,
never was. I don't want to claim anything that I'm...
Well, you know, again, my research is really... I'm going to have to talk to my researcher when I get back home. Yeah. The point is, you participated in high-level sport in South Africa. Yeah. So... It goes back to the simple philosophy. If you look at the methodology La Liga employ, that's one of the first things that really struck me as being something I want to be a part of in bringing to South Africa. And there are a few of us involved. Please understand, I haven't done this on my own. Arbor Cup is a registered organization. We're part of the Global Foundation, which is called Arbor Global Group. And Arbor Global Group does more than just tournaments. We can only do the tournaments because of COVID, but IBA Cup's going to grow quite substantially in its input in South African football. But I'll touch on that
a
little
later. What does IBA stand for?
So IBA comes out of Iberia. So the IBA Cup started in 2010 and was known as the Lisbon Cup, or for the Portuguese, the Lisboa Cup.
Okay.
So Iberia, or IBA, is the region of Portugal, Spain. That region fell under Iberia many, many moons ago.
Okay.
So the Lisbon Cup became the IBA Cup, so to speak. Okay. If Philippe and Nelson are listening, I hope I'm right. Those are the guys who started the IBA Cup, by the way. Two amazing human beings. But to your point, so we need to try and find ways to identify talent quickly.
No.
The methodology La Liga employ is the under 10 to under 12 age category versus the under 13 to under 15, and then going up to under 18, under 19s, is three very strict principles. And you cannot be trying to get a 10-year-old to understand tactical, technical, or cognitive football. Let them just develop the game naturally by putting a ball at their feet. So often I've seen, and I never want to be disparaging to any coach, because to be a coach is a difficult thing in this country as it is. But I see kids at this 10-year-old, 11-year-old being made to do drills, cone work. First let the kid discover which is his stronger foot. Then say, well, if that's his stronger foot, how do I work on the weaker foot? So start helping a child at 10 years old just enjoy this game. You know, Pep Guardiola says it all. His comment about youth football was this: give a child a ball. Mm. Give a child a ball and let him play some more, before you start telling him you need to dribble through a cone. To me, one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Interesting thought pattern. But exactly what I was saying is that you need to get the basics right before you start worrying about the management and the technical heavy skill. Just get the understanding of what a ball at the feet is like. Same as with boxing. Like, what does it feel like to move around, throw a punch? Same principle. And if you can't get that basics right, to try and teach somebody skill and technical and management on the field is a joke, because they can't even hold the ball at their feet. So
you're 100% right. So when you start getting to the older groups at 13, 14 is the best time to start instilling. You mentioned it, even in boxing at that age group. So anywhere between the 12 and 14-year-old, that's the best time to start seeing talent and understanding that this is somebody who has a natural talent that can be developed into formative sport. So whether it's football, boxing, whatever it may be. So we start saying at that stage, your child should already be ready on a technical level, understanding the ability to use technical parts and technical game as part of their tactical game. But I don't want to get too involved in the methodology. But when you get a little older than cognitive football, that's when you see the natural flair or the natural talent. Mm. South African players tend to have this incredibly natural talent to be able to play, very similar to Brazil and all of that. But we sometimes...
A flair, sort of skill-based, basic skill.
So you look at, and this is where it's pretty hard, is we travel to a lot of townships and go into places where you see them playing on a 3-meter by 3-meter patch of sand that has a big rock in the middle of it. But they're still kicking balls and they're still playing because there's this inherent passion for any South African child to want to play football, to play soccer.
The biggest sport in Africa, isn't it?
Oh, it's the biggest sport in the world.
I didn't want to be that cheeky.
I'm going to be that cheeky. Yeah. So with the exception of the Olympics, the World Cup still has the most television viewers on the planet. If you go back to why we adopt... why aren't you using English Premier League in your... Why aren't you adopting an English Premier League system? So we're saying English Premier League plays a very physical, direct game of football. Spanish football still allows for that natural talent, the dribble, the flair to come through. You can get caught up in arguing the merits of whether English football is better. Right now, Spanish football has been the most successful franchise in UEFA Champions League. Second is England, I think third is Italy, and I think fourth is Germany.
And also, they offered their help.
Well, absolutely spot on. La Liga have said, let's look at South Africa. We understand there's talent there. We need to start working in that country. You can't ask for more than that.
Are there any African players in La Liga?
Oh, there. Look, I couldn't
I'm
name
talking
them
about the top sides. Are there any African players?
We've had two black South Africans who have made a showing in La Liga. Generally from Cameroon, I stand under correction, but I think there must be 15 to 20 African players in La Liga.
Okay, so there are a couple.
Oh, spread across the teams. I think, and again, I stand under correction, but I think there could be more playing in La Liga than in the English Premier League right now. Hmm. Purely because, remember, Spain also annexed a lot of African countries.
Yeah.
So there's a natural affiliation. It's like France.
Yeah.
A lot of African players are playing in France. But I don't want to lose sight of what we're trying to do with youth.
Okay, so we run in these camps, and now one of the things you spoke about is that you don't try and make a guy, a young player, run through cones and do stuff until he learns the basics. Now, that goes down to coaching. Now, what are you doing about the coaching side of the game? Because it's all well to take 20 players and teach them a little bit about football, but they're going to go back to their coaches at the end of that. So what are you doing about the coaching side of the game now in terms of your clinics?
So, again, absolutely valid question, Stephen, and possibly one of the more important questions. People often get caught up in like, oh, little Johnny, he's going to be the next Ronaldo, the next Messi, Lingard, whoever you want to. And we're going, if you don't get the coaching right.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Your little Messi and Ronaldo and whoever the striker may be, Mo Salah, whoever it may be, is just going to disappear into the background. So a large issue in South African football is coaches want to win at all costs. There's a philosophy why, if I don't win at all costs at youth, chances are I can't go further.
Sure.
Now, you must understand, in South Africa, 90% of the coaches in youth football aren't even paid. They do this for the love of the game. But they get charged to go on a coaching course because that's the process.
Sounds like 100% of coaches in boxing.
You know how many fathers get told, do you come to practice? Yes, every practice, yes. Great, you're a coach. And they stick people in. So that you can't stop because of the volume of kids playing. But SAFA run the coaching courses for South African coaches and do an average of 60 to 70 South African coaches who come in at an entry-level SAFA D license. Mm. And great, they get a SAFA D license. They're still not getting paid. They've got to go try find a club, try build a team, etc., not understanding what potential sits. And their biggest issue is, I've got talent, what do I do with him?
Yeah.
They don't know.
And again, how do I not mess it up?
Well, I don't want to be disparaging, but a lot of these coaches don't know, oh, there is an Iber Cup. Let's phone Michael. Let's get hold of a team to tell them I've got the most incredible playing football. What they do is they just go, I'll just make him my star. And they make him their stars in this like local game. Mm. It's imperative that the coaches that come to the La Liga camp are going to be given part of the tools, not only to recognize talent, but to start considering what to do with the talent. Not to get the talent overseas, but to work with the talent locally.
Yeah.
And then start building on the platform when an Iber Cup comes to town or is in the region, they can phone and say, I've got an amazing player you need to see.
Yeah.
We would then give it the opportunity to a La Liga to say, here's the video. We send it overseas. 42 clubs have a look at it. And you never know. A club may say, we like what we're seeing. He then goes over for a trial. He or she goes over for a trial. And all of a sudden, that coach is doing the right thing because the methodology he employs is for Spanish football.
Sure.
So that's La Liga's system.
Yes.
Because in all fairness, the better players that go into the La Liga system means better for the clubs.
Sure.
For me, the issue is, and this is what's the big bomb I was going to tell you. So just previously before I arrived here, we just got a series of presentations from our global company, which is Iber Global Group. And Iber Cup is proud to announce, and I hope I'm not going to get shot for this, that they launched today the biggest international program for youth development football globally, with some of the biggest franchises who have joined Iber Cup to say, we prepare to make our academies available to your talent in whichever country there is an Iber Cup.
Wow.
It's insane, Stephen. I don't even know where to start. I'm so glad you're the first to hear about it.
Wow,
actually.
That is incredible. I mean that's like everything you could wish for,
well,
for development.
You think about this. We've always had to pay our way.
Yeah.
Supposedly. So the challenges we faced are, first, you've got to find the talent.
Yeah.
If you're not going into the deep heart of townships and that, and you don't have structures in place for them to help you find the talent, that talent's just disappearing, number one. Two, clubs cost a fair amount of money for a child to join a club.
Yeah, belong to it.
Yeah, it can be anywhere between 1,000 to 7,000 and to belong to a local football club. Again, your talent sits at home.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get sidetracked if I may.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yes.
Is school soccer. We spoke about it earlier.
Yeah.
The MEC for Sports, Arts and Culture from the Gauteng Provincial Group has taken upon herself as her mandate to bring school soccer back. Wednesday soccer will come back to the Gauteng Provincial regions on a slower, smaller scale, and I don't want to speak on her behalf because I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
And the idea is if we can get kids playing soccer back at school, the hunger and the thirst will come back. Kids will want to play. Do you know last year, COVID, the year before, 2019.
Yeah, COVID hit last year.
Yeah. Rand Central Football Club, which is, Local Football Association, which is the biggest, reports into SAFA, runs the biggest league in Central Gauteng, next to Easterns and Southerns and Northerns, okay, etc.
Yeah.
They couldn't field an under 14 league out of the entire Gauteng because there were not enough players. At 13 years old.
Boys.
They were taking whichever boys were in under 14 and moving them up to under 15. They couldn't field an under 14 stream.
In football, I'm shocked.
You were shocked. Do you know what it was like for us as coaches? And remember, I was part of RCLFA in those days. We just sat there and went, it came as a tsunami because nobody expected it.
Yeah.
We got a couple of teams entering under 14, and next minute we were going, there's not enough teams to run. Never mind one league, there's seven leagues that get run under an age group.
Yeah.
And you're going, what the heck's happened to football? Now when you talk to average 13-year-olds, somewhere in their psyche, it's kind of like, I don't know if it's cool anymore to be playing football. It's because, Stephen, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Now we're hoping by bringing Iber Cup back, bringing Iber Cup to South Africa.
Yeah.
And knowing how successful we were, South African footballers, pride's going to come back.
Well, there's something to play for now. And maybe that's what was missing, was that, what's the goal? You know, like, if I play here, will I ever be, who will see me to play for Real Madrid one day? Who will see me to play for Liverpool one day? You know, how do I get there playing local soccer here? You know, what's the journey? And there never was a journey. It was purely local soccer tournament, win the tournament, go home. Next year, next age group. Now there's Iber Cup. And we're going to talk about how that tournament structure is going to work a little bit now, because I want to understand that as well.
Sure.
But before we break for another lovely football song, and it's not You Never Walk Alone.
Okay.
I want to ask you, very importantly, because it's one of the things I've noticed in a lot of sport when it comes to development in sport, is we develop players and we look at coaches. What about officials? What are you doing with officials?
Wow.
Is there a plan for that? Is it something down the line, or have you not even thought about it?
Pandora's box. Is that what you're trying to open here tonight?
It's a real thing, because as much as you can have a great coach and you can have great players, if you've got a guy on the field that's officiating that has no idea what he's doing, he destroys everything that you put together.
Couldn't agree more with you.
So is there a plan for officials?
So from Iber Cup's point of view, Iber Cup will employ only SAFA licensed referees and officials under the pretext that they have been put through a well-groomed refereeing course or officials course to be able to cope with the talent that's going to come to a field. So
yes,
that's the first thing.
Yeah.
If you look at Iber Cup overseas, in actual fact, you'll have FIFA, junior FIFA refs.
Yeah.
We just don't have the liberty of that in South Africa.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they have 18, 19-year-old refs who look after their game. The most interesting thing about Iber Cup for us is every child has a microchip. So we, in actual fact, have a software development program that tracks every single child playing in Iber Cup, stats, rankings, effectiveness on field.
So while they're playing, they're chipped?
While they're playing, they are chipped. They get a rubber band with a microchip in. It works through a computer system. A coach at the end of the game can get the stats on his team players' rankings. The same as the first time ever we're going to do it for referees.
Okay, because, again, I think it's so important, and it's so often left behind in development that we don't develop officials. And it's maybe something that, if you've not a plan for, that maybe Iber Cup should start themselves, is teaching school referees, the doing some sort of clinics for those referees at those bottom levels where these guys are playing, just giving them a little bit of a clinic. Because I think if you can fix it there, start fixing it there, hopefully that'll feed its way up the poll.
So to coin a phrase from our football friends in America, touchdown, Stephen Castle.
Yeah. Because... Right.
Castle Council.
Yeah, Castle Council, Tuesday night, early late show in studio with me, Michael Bender. I'm talking very fast because I can't believe how fast time has gone.
That's unbelievable.
It's like we've got less than 15 minutes and there's still stuff I want to know.
Maybe we need to do episode 3, 4, like next week.
So no, we were talking about it before we went to a break, and we spoke about officials, and I said it was a very important aspect to what I felt was development. You said you got something that's...
Stephen, 100% right. You know, we're trying to close the circle, and the circle goes as far as even educating parents.
Yeah.
So if officials are ruining the game through lack of education, a child's going to get to a point of frustration where they don't want to play the game anymore, as seen on many times. So what are we saying? We're saying we are going to work, particularly in schools football, given the platform. Our proposal to the MEC and various other bodies is to say, let us become part of a group of individuals who help train school coaches in the art of officiating and being administration for
football.
Fantastic. But we have to get that support at a higher level. So we need to always engage SAFA, because we believe SAFA does do... In actual fact, I've been blessed to be on many of those SAFA coaching initiatives, and it's a hell of a good course. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
Some of the instructors in that are really amazing people, but it's not getting driven back down to grassroots.
Yeah, that's where it starts, though, and that's where the most important aspect is, as we've sort of said, in terms of development, is at grassroots. So now, what you spoke about SAFA, and one of the questions I have for you, and I'm going to go straight to it now because you mentioned SAFA, and the idea of what you're doing right now, developing talent, possibly identifying it, and the idea that it could be taken away from local soccer, has got to be something that the local community, and I say community, the local, the PSL, have to be aware of. And have you had any pushback from first of all, from SAFA itself, and have you had any pushback from the local Premier League sides? Yeah.
So. We haven't had much engagement with the PSL. I have worked with some of the youth development teams, Orlando Pirates and some of the other teams, and we've seen a lot of players that, in actual fact, I coached over time grow into their academy players. I don't think a single team's going to stand in the way of the potential of a child being groomed for a couple of reasons. No. Not everyone's going to make it overseas.
Sure.
That's the most important. The averages, the law of averages are a small percentage make it overseas. But if a child has gone overseas and comes back to his club, so you must understand FIFA's rule is quite simple. If a club allows a player to leave that club and goes into a higher league, that club has to be compensated. Whether it's giving skills, transfer, or even financial compensation, a team, a South African team that's giving a player, supposedly, and I use the term loosely, away to a team overseas has to be compensated. South Africa needs a grassroots development program that's going to help us build a new Bafana Bafana, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
There are amazing players. People, I don't even know if they're aware, there's not just three or four South Africans playing football overseas. We have six from the ages of 16 to 19, six South African boys who are all signing for British clubs at the moment. Nobody even knows about them.
Yeah.
Right. Are they going to ever come back? Do they ever want to wear the jersey?
Yeah.
So SAFA, fortunately, has been very proactive with us at the moment in terms of our early meetings, saying, as long as you're doing it within the confines of SAFA's agenda, we're behind you. Hmm. And that comes from a higher level. And I don't want to mention names on the show.
Yeah.
We're still in the process of sitting in our final discussions. But the president of SAFA, Mr. Danny Jordan, signed an agreement with La Liga, with the president of La Liga from Spain, which was the two parties working together to develop football. We're just the plug in the middle because we have access and we understand the landscape of South African youth football because we spent so many years in here.
Yeah.
So to your point, sorry, just to go back to where you all were, there has to be administration and officiating a way to uplift that. There has to be a way to get kids playing football back in schools because that's going to change the demographics and the face of football. Because if we can start going into schools and watching kids play, you should be naturally finding that talent and moving them into a South African club and then hopefully one day just escalating it to overseas.
Yeah, overseas, yeah. So there's been no real big pushback, a lot of support coming mostly out of the local community in terms of SAFA and clubs.
You know, I don't want to sound arrogant, but what we're currently doing is a first.
It's only going to benefit them at the end of the day.
It's never been done in South Africa where a tournament of this scale is coming to be hosted in our backyard.
Okay, let's talk about that tournament.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. How's it going to work and what's the structure behind the tournament? So in October, this tournament's happening. Where is it happening?
So it'll be happening at the St. Stithian School grounds.
Okay, where the clinic's happening in July.
Yes, correct. And there would be a second field, which will be for the older kids, which we will announce a little later because we are in the final negotiations with that.
Okay.
But not too far from there. We're using the St. Stithian's College because they adopted Iba Cup, but they have 11 fields. So we can...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people don't realize with their rugby fields and everything, in that period of Arbor Cup, St. Stithians will become, like they run the rugby festival and the water polo festivals, St. Stithians is going to become this amazing hub of international football in South Africa.
That's fantastic.
That is amazing. We're very
October? Date in October, roughly?
Again, subject to us just getting the final agreements from our international teams.
Okay.
It's going to be in the latter half of October. So towards the end of October.
Okay, so now we've got a tournament running in October. We've got international teams coming to play in that tournament.
Correct.
And how many teams are there? Is that
so
looking
at? So we've had an indication. So we will run 200 teams. So you can imagine 20 players in a team.
Is that 200 teams across all the age groups?
All age groups. 4,000 soccer-playing kids in a five-day period. But you must, if you look at Arbor Cup, I mean, Arbor Cup is currently doing over 150 countries in a tournament.
I mean
50,000 kids go through Arba Cup in a period of time.
Where do these kids stay? I mean, some will be local, but I mean, where's the rest of them going to stay?
What we do, and this is the beauty about Arba Cup, Arba Cup enters into agreements with local colleges, B&Bs. It's no different to a World Cup, if you could imagine, on a smaller scale.
Yeah. Or smaller people, but that's about it.
Smaller people. They still love the game as much.
100%. Yeah.
And all we're going to do is go to every single hotel in the neighborhood and say, we have potential bookings on here. It's run by Arba Cup International, which even makes it easier. So when we travel to Portugal, you must remember, they moved 160 of us from South Africa to Portugal seamlessly. So Arbor Cup's infrastructure is just massive.
Another game.
100%.
All right, so we got it's a week-long tournament.
Yeah, so the tournament will be 4 days of playing football. Mm. The average team will play 4 games against other teams. That's the thing people don't realize. You can play up to 3 games in a day.
But are those full games? Slightly shortened?
100%. It's a shortened game, still full pitch. Yeah. So instead of playing the full 45 minutes in the senior games, they're playing 30 minutes. So we cut the game
30
down.
Minutes total time?
No, 30 and a half.
It's still a long time.
The kiddies we bring down to 15 minutes a half. So they play half field, 15 minutes. Well, you know what happens? You have to get the result quicker.
Yeah.
Teams understand that they're getting on that field. There's no time to sit back and still find their way. Yeah. They know that clock runs so fast. Look at us tonight. Yeah. Almost done.
Yeah.
Stephen, we're closing down. I know you're nearly finished, but I've got to tell you something.
Yeah, we got time to talk to
you. So Arbor Cup, the Global Arbor Cup right now, has just announced they will facilitate South African players in the biggest clubs, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Juventus, Inter Milan, AC Milan, for clinics and training for either 3 month, 6 month, or 10 month camps. We will go and start making that available to South African footballers. You got to understand though, if they go over for 3 months and they're not good enough, they're going to come home.
Yeah.
As Arbor Cup, we have a duty to those players coming home to make them feel that they're not discarded by society, and it's not an embarrassment.
They haven't failed.
But if a kid does well, he can spend 10 months in an academy, never come home again.
Okay, but now, what age is he talking about?
From under 10 upwards.
And what happens about schooling? Do they get school there?
So again, if the way the academies work is they are geared up for schooling.
Yeah.
So an under 10 would never go over for 10 months. It's too young an age group to be going away. So they usually look at from under 13 upwards is the usual international rule of thumb.
Yeah.
School, feeding, accommodation. They take them to understand the local environment.
So they made this available through Arbor Cup South Africa.
It's the world partnership Arbor Cup has just achieved with some of the biggest names in football.
Okay, so you have to identify, Arbor Cup South Africa has to identify guys that are good enough to go there now, because that's essentially what it's about.
So Arbor Cup's just changed from just being a tournament-based business.
Yeah.
We've always said, when we came to South Africa to do Arbor Cup here, let's do a tournament. Let's find talent identification. Then La Liga came into our lap, and we created an amazing partnership where La Liga can unlock expertise for talent identification.
Yeah.
Now Arbor Cup has developed a new system that says, if you find the talent, we've got the conduits to the biggest names on the planet. So let's start looking at how we build and really create the bridge from South Africa to Europe that can last for a lifetime. When I retire, this can still exist. That's how big this is for South African youth football.
It's definitely a huge boost for football, but also quite a headache for yourself. Because, again, it's the cynical side of me whenever I think of sports, and there's always so much politics involved, because passion's one thing, but then people get jealous, and there's always that. You and I have to identify players for these things. There's going to be that pushback. There's going to be jealousy involved. There's going to be knives out for you more than knives for you initially. That's just part of the game. But I think you've got a mammoth task ahead of you. It's an exciting one. I definitely will be coming to the October Festival. I think everybody listening that loves soccer will definitely, if you're in Johannesburg, will be there. And if possible, maybe we'll even get you back before that festival when the clinic is over to discuss how the clinic went, how that ran through, and then talk about the tournament coming up in terms of final dates and that.
I want to invite you to the clinic in July.
I'd love to come to it.
So take this as an invitation. There are public out there, so you've accepted that. Okay. I'd like you to come to the clinic in July. I'd like you to meet the La Liga guys. I'd like us to have a similar situation where you can get to chat to them.
Yeah.
Marcos has said he will make himself available. Maybe you want to talk Spanish soccer. Stephen, your point is this. This was never going to be easy. This is fundamentally changing grassroots football. We're not changing what existed. This has never been done before.
Yeah.
The pushback's going to come. The knives are already out.
Yeah.
We understand that.
Yeah.
That's global. What happens in football.
Sure.
Coach is great. Tomorrow, he's stabbed, and he goes out. Mourinho is your prime example. Let's not go there.
Yeah.
I'm inviting you to come in July. It would be an honor to have you there. And maybe we even can try a little outside broadcast.
But yeah, no, I think it would be a good idea.
The serious point, though, is I want you to come back and from your point of view, see the difference we're making.
Yeah. No, fantastic. It sounds a wonderful idea. I'd like to thank you for coming in tonight. I think we touched the broad outlines of it. Thank you for coming in. Thanks for explaining the Iber Cup South Africa to us and the involvement with the Liga. We will definitely get you back in. You're probably closer to the clinic so we get more detail on it. And then, as I said, closer to the tournament again, just to touch base and maybe even get one or two of those foreigners in here with you to discuss how they see the development happening here and their experiences here. But thanks very much for coming, Mike. I do appreciate the time. Castle's Council is always wiser after a guest, so thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
And as I always say, Castle's Council, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. We're going to play out with the one and only Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Castle's Council.